We will continue inshallah on the book of al-servitude or ubudiyyah by Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah. We are at page 13, at the point where I said worship, obedience, uprightness, holding fast to the straight path, and the like of such terms which have one sole purpose. So these terms are like terms that are repetitive, but they are actually they kind of like complement each other. They all mean one thing, which means worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being upright and obedient. All of these description have the same meanings, and it has two pillars. The first, that none should be worshipped except Allah. And the second, that he should not be worshipped except with what has been commanded and legislated. So there are two pillars or two conditions for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is to worship Allah alone, and the second is to, and that's the sincerity in this worship to Allah. And this has two pillars. The first pillar is to be done only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the only one to be worshipped. And second is that he should be worshipped the way that he commanded us to worship him. He should not be worshipped with other than such as with desires, conjectures, or innovations, or bid'ah. And innovation is any act that does not have reference, yet the people would think that they are doing it to please Allah and being closer to Allah by doing it. Allah said, so whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, let him do righteous deed and associate none as partner in worshipping of his Lord. So the worship of Allah, as we said, it has two conditions. One is that Allah is the only one to be worshipped. And second is to do it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us. And this verse actually speaks to the same meaning, that whoever that hopes for to meet Allah, to do the righteous thing and associate none as partner in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Allah said, yes, but whoever submit himself to Allah and he is a good doer, his reward is with his Lord, and such shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. So these are the ones who submit to their Lord, and they do good deeds. So they will have their reward and there will be no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. So here the one that's good doer and the one that the one who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one that does good, the two conditions here are fulfilled, is the one that will get their reward from Allah, and there will be no fear in their hearts, and they will have no grief.
المفروض أن يوقع في الماضي، فعندما يتبصره صار يتبصر.
And the huzn or the sadness is anything that would be when the heart would be basically affected by things that happened in the past, which make the heart feel sad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the promise to the believers, to the good doers, that if when they do that and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no grief and no sadness in their hearts. So there will be no sadness in their heart, and there will be no fear in that heart, because Allah gave them that promise. Those are the ones that have security from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Allah said, and who can be better in deen than one who has submitted to Allah, and he is a doer of good deeds and follow the way of Ibrahim, the worshipper of none but Allah alone. Indeed, Allah did take Ibrahim as a Khalil, and Khalil is a very close lover person or loved person. So Allah took Ibrahim as his beloved servant, his loved servant, and the love of Allah to Ibrahim, it is the highest level of love than that Allah described him as al-Khalil. Also with reported that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also did win that khilla with Allah, which means the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I take anyone from the people around me as a Khalil, I would have taken Abu Bakr, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took me as a Khalil of his. The righteous deed is ihsan, and that is to perform good acts. So the relationship between those verses that we just covered, Allah said the one who does good deeds, and the second verse said Allah said the one who does the good deeds and he is muhsin. So all this about the good deeds, and the good deeds is when you do the righteous deeds. The good deeds acts and the ones in which are loved by Allah and his messenger, and the one that have either been commanded as an obligation or recommendation. So whatever Allah commanded us to do, or anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended us to do, that would be among the good deeds, and which is ihsan. And ihsan in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it came in different meanings. One meaning of it, one meaning is to be, is literally mean the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is to do it with perfection. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Jibreel is that ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see him, but you don't see Allah, but surely he sees you. So that would be like worshiping Allah with perfection. That's the highest standard of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes ihsan comes when you do ihsan towards other people by being doing kindness, like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said towards parents there should be ihsan, which means to be kind to your parents or to your kins or relatives, and also to be kind to the one and neighbor that is on your vicinity or right next door to you. All these are considered ihsan, and this ihsan meaning here is to have the kind treatment. So ihsan, it comes in different meanings. They're all about good deeds and good things that will get you more rewards and more hasanat. And therefore, whatever is found amidst the deen by the way of novation that are not in the book nor in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then these are not legislated, regardless of who professed them, and of who performed them, since Allah does not love them, nor does His Messenger. So there is another copy that has one more statement there, but they're all about the same meaning. And the innovation is anything that does not have reference in the Book of Allah nor in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes the people that do innovation, they'll say this person and this person, that they reported and they narrate different people. And they said the Sheikh so-and-so and Sheikh so-and-so did it and said it. And those sheikhs, I mean, people can use their, can bring the proof to them, but not take them themselves as proof. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you have dispute about anything, then you should resort to the book and the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resolve any dispute that you have. And the innovations are nothing that Allah legislated, because Allah does not like them and the Prophet and His Messenger doesn't like them either. So they are not of the good deeds or the righteous deeds. And this is the same as when one commits impermissible acts such as lewd sins and oppression. They are not good acts or righteous acts. By the same token that Allah does abandon and Allah prohibit the innovation, also Allah abandoned the lewd sins or the evil sins and oppressions. So again, if you look at them, both of them are like deviation or diverting from the right path. By doing novation, you are basically going away from the right path because you are acting on something that has no reference. And second, by committing the sins and the evil deeds, that in itself it will be in contradiction to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the book. So both of them are diversion from the right path, and therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he recited the verse in which that said, this is my right path, the straight path that I follow it, and those who believe with me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when recited this verse, he drew one straight line on the ground, then he did branch out from it many smaller lines, and he said to the middle backbone line in the center, he said, this is the right path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every path that is branching from it is a gate that will take you away from the right path, and there is a shaitan that is standing at each one of those branches to drag people out of the right path. So there's some of them on the right and some of them on the left, and the one on the right will be like one of the innovations, and the one on the left are the one that were the evil deeds. And now the cure or the to repair the bid'ah is to have knowledge, and to repair the evil deeds is to do the righteous deed and to be closer to Allah by worshiping Allah more. So any fitan or any trials, I mean, like the bid'ah and all other things, has to be cured by knowledge. And And as for his saying that, let associate none as partner in worship of his Lord. This is the reference to the purifying the deen for Allah alone. So the verses that we recited before, the first condition is that to have ihsan. Ihsan is to do the good deeds. The person will do the good deeds. And the good deeds that will be done with consistency. And the second condition came from he submitted towards his Lord, which means that it is sincerely done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the true sincerity to Allah. And Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, "Oh Allah, make all my actions righteous and make them purely for your face. And do not let anyone have a share in them." So do not let anyone have a share on my deeds. So Umar used to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it was narrated by Imam Ahmad in his book Az-Zuhd. He said that the Amir of the believer, Umar ibn Khattab, used to say this: "Oh Allah, make all my actions righteous and make them purely for your face, and do not let anyone have a share in them." So that means he used to ask Allah that all his deeds will be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, may Allah have mercy upon him, Fudayl ibn Iyad said, and Fudayl ibn Iyad is one of the Tabi'een, the generation after the companions. And he was well known for his zuhd. And Fudayl ibn Iyad said, and what Allah said, that he may test you as to which of you is best indeed. And Fudayl ibn Iyad said, "It is one the most sincere and most correct." And the people questioned him and they said, "Oh, father of Ali, how does it become the most sincere and the most correct?" And so they asked him, "What is the most sincere one?" He answered, "Indeed, the action, if it is done sincerely but not correctly, but it is not accepted, and if it is done correctly but not sincerely, it is not accepted until it is done sincerely and correctly at the same time. The sincere deed is that it is for Allah alone, and the correct deed is that it conformed to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So these are two conditions that one is that it has to be only for Allah, and second is to be done correctly. So that would be the sincerely done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has to conform to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if everything that Allah loves is encompassed by term of ibadah, this is confirmed by the term of ibadah, then why did Allah connect other terms to it in the close, as in his saying that you we worship and you we ask for help? And also Allah said, "So worship him and have tawakkul in him." And also he said, "You should worship Allah and protect yourself from him and obey him." So here the author, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, is presenting some points to think about them. And because we talked before that worship is that ibadah or servitude is anything that we do, whether it's action or sayings or for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do it. And now here the issue here, so reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it from the worship of Allah or not? To ask help from Allah, is that part of the ibadah, the worship of Allah or not? And to have obedience for Allah, is that part of the... Why did Allah then mention this as an added term to the word of worship? Like Allah said, you we worship and you we seek help from. Why did Allah related the seeking help or having reliance has been added to the word of worship in these verses? If these acts are part of the worship also, why did we have to use and say you alone we worship and we seek help from, and also you we worship and we obey you? So there will be an answer for this. There will be an answer for this. So in this case, when I say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship and you we ask help from. So the summary of the answer that, and we'll talk about the answer to this one in great details, but the summary of it is that many times the letter waw or and comes in Arabic to add something that is something to a more inclusive term. So the term or the article and does not come to join only two separate things. It can join something with some of its part or its component. So its component will be added to it through the and. And that's what we call that we add part of something to a general term, or adding a general term to a specific term. So which means reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of the worshiping Allah, yet it's been added to it in this verse. So we can say that reliance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the part of the ibadah or worship of Allah. As Allah said, and they said those who believed and did good deeds. So in this case, the people of Novation will say that believing in Allah is different and doing the good deeds is a different thing. So they said Allah in this case added the good deeds to the belief. But you know, doing the good deeds is part of the faith. The part of having iman is to do good deeds. Just a note here: the brother is distributing the page 18 and 19 because your books have page 18 and 19 missing in there. So these are insert for those who have the printed books that. We have some missing pages, and the brother is distributing them. So each one of you will get a copy of those missed pages. The answer is that there has many comparable examples in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many examples like this. As Allah said in the Quran, verily prayer prevent from committing al-fahisha or the major sins, and munkar, the reprehensible deeds. And al-fahisha or the evil deeds is type of the munkar, which is the reprehensible deeds. So fahsha and munkar, both of them are evil deeds, and both of them are of the same nature. And fahsha is anything that is evil and anything that is being disgusting, disgusting and disliked by the human fitrah. And sometimes fahsha can also come, which means adultery, the act of zina or adultery, which has a lot to do with the lineage of the families, and it's a big offense and evil deeds and major sin. So anything that is great in the sin is will be a fahsha also. And munkar is also any bad deed. And munkar is any of those things that are bad. And also Allah said that verily Allah enjoin al-adl or the justice and al-ihsan and giving health to kith and kin, and he forbid al-fahisha or al-fahsha, and he forbids al-fahsha, which is the major sin or the lewd sin, and al-munkar, the same thing, the reprehensible deeds, and al-baghi, all kind of oppression. And adl in this case to the justice, or to give everyone their due rights, and to do more than that is the ihsan. To do more than that is the ihsan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid al-fahsha. And here also al-fahsha and baghi, both of them are from the munkar. Munkar is more inclusive meaning in this case. And they are both from munkar, and yet Allah connected them with the term and, not to show that they are different, but it's of the same type. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for wisdom has pointed them and connected them through and in this case. And also in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily they used to rush to do good deeds, and they used to call. Also it says, and as to those who hold fast by the book and establish prayers, establishing prayer of is of the greatest ways of holding fast to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition, Allah, the statement says also, verily they used to rush to do good deeds, and they used to call on us with hope and fear, and they used to humble themselves before us. So they used to rush and they used to be fast to do good deeds. And this is here referring to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in the chapter of the prophets, Anbiya, in the Quran. And this is talking about the story of Zakaria and his son Yahya. And Zakaria, when he called upon his Allah, his Lord, that, oh Allah, give me an offspring. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured his wife, and then he had the son Yahya. Or it also could mean all those prophets. I mean, verily they in this verse, it could mean all the prophets before Zakaria, like Abraham and Moses and Isa and all of the prophets that at his time or before him. So they will all fall under this, and they will all be like this, the term or the. And the pronoun they here, I mean, goes back to all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some narration or explanation, it says to about Zakaria and his son Yahya. But it fits all of them, there's no contradiction. The point here is that this verse, we use it to show that they used to rush towards the good deeds, And they used to call upon us with great hope and fear at the same time. And then when we ask Allah and when we invoke into Allah with fear and love at the same time, and these things, I mean, doing it with love and fear in itself is some of the good deeds. And the good deeds has been mentioned here as a separate thing, but it is there. And there are many of these type in the Quran like this. So there are many examples like this in the Quran. If we look into these verses, we find that sometimes we'll have two terms that have been connected, and these two things are maybe different and they'll be connected by the article and sometimes those two things may be of the same type, and sometimes maybe those two things are connected with the article and one of them actually is part of the other, or vice versa. I mean, one of them may be more inclusive of the other. So these are very common in the Quran, and that will only indicate that Allah wanted to emphasize one aspect of that term which has been added to the general term which is of the same meaning, but Allah wanted to point our attention to, or emphasize a point there. So that's when say establishing the prayer sometimes being called for the general meaning of it. And sometimes we don't say that these are just because of the specific and common relationship, but we can say that sometimes nouns may have different meanings if they come by themselves alone or if they come joined with other things. Sometimes, I mean, if we join two terms together, they may mean different things, but if we find them separate at different places or locations, they could mean the same thing. So, like, if those two terms are the same, show up in the same verse, they could mean two different things. But if we see them on two different places, then they could mean the same thing. That's another reason why we have the "and" of two things that would apparently look the same of in the meaning, but they could mean different when we join them. And in this case, when we have each one of those two terms by itself, that means that is the most common or general meaning of it. But when you combine them, then that in that case would make them the different. For example, like the two different words that the poor, in Arabic we say faqir and miskin, two different descriptions, faqir and miskin. When one of them was set by itself, as Allah said, charity is for the fuqara, who in Allah's cause are restricted. And also Allah said, I'm feeding 10 masakin. The verse has to start with فَإِطْعَامُهُ فَكَفَّارَتُهُ, and the cure for it is to feed 10, or the heal, or the solution is to feed 10 or feeding 10. So kafaratu is missing in there, but so should be. In this case, in one verse we said fuqara, which means poor people, and in the second one we said masakin, which means poor people too. But In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, those who would be kind to the poor people, and in this case use the term fuqara. But also when it comes to how to cure when we have an oath that is not fulfilled, Allah said we have to cure that by feeding 10 masakin. Here Allah used for the poor people used the term masakin and not fuqara. But when the two terms fuqara and masakin came together, and Allah said in that verse, zakah is only for the fuqara and the masakin, now they became two distinct categories, because now they are being joined on the same verse, or the same place, in Surah At-Tawbah. And in this case, they said that the faqir is the one that doesn't have anything, the poor person that basically has nothing. No income, no reserved sustenance or anything. But miskin is the one that has enough, has some income and has some income, but it is not enough for him to run his life or her life. But the faqir has nil, nothing. So an miskin will deserve the charity in this case, so that we can complete what he has already. But the faqir has nothing, which makes the faqir is more deserving in this case. And the interpretation of why miskin is somebody that already has some earning or some income is that when we read also in the cave chapter, when Allah said the people who own the ship that was were described as masakin in that case means also poor people, but how come they have a ship and that yet they are poor people? But that was not enough for them to have everything for their life. And because they used to have that ship, I mean, to transfer goods and people and stuff, but that wasn't enough for them to basically run their life with everything that they needed. So Allah described them as masakin, even though they did own a ship. And the Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge in Allah from faqr, which means poverty. And that is the one that where there's nothing in there. But at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, oh Allah, make me live as a miskin, which is poor again, but it's not the poor that has nothing, the poor that has something. So he used to, oh Allah, make me miskin, and oh Allah, resurrect me among those who were masakin. And the masakin that in the supplication of the Prophet ﷺ means the one that are humble actually, not the one that has limited resources. But the point here is, when we say miskin, when it is mentioned by itself, it will mean a poor person, and it could include the faqir in that case too. So in that case, it will mean the same meaning as faqir. But when we combine them together, like in the verse of the charity here, they would mean two different things. It's also been maintained that whenever a specific term is connected after a general term, the specific term no longer remain embedded within the general term, but instead belongs to this type, like the above. So that's the same rule that we just said. I mean, if they have been mentioned together, they mean two different things. The correct position, however, is that this is not always necessarily the true. This is not always the case. As some of the scholars said, when we have a specific term has been added to the general term, For example, when I said those who would hold to the book and establish the prayer. So in, they said in this case, those who would hold tight to the book, that doesn't also at the same time mean that they would establish the prayer. So that means they would become so careful on things on the book, other than the prayer, for example. Or for example, say those who believed and did good deeds. In this case, they said, yeah, the good deeds is from the faith. But if we combine them together like that, that means that that good deed mentioned in that particular case may not be the one that is related to the faith or good iman. And they said we cannot say that this is like adding the specific to a general term. But the author here says that the correct position is, however, is that this is not always present. As Allah said in the Quran, whoever is an enemy to Allah and His angels and the messengers and Jibreel and Mikael. And in this case, Allah said His angels, that yet Allah said and Jibreel and Mikael. And Mikael and Jibreel are from the angels. So this is where we basically add the specific to a general term. We said angels and then Jibreel and Mikael. So in this case, Jibreel and Mikael, Allah honored them by adding their names separately to the rest of the community of the angels. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did honor them as part of the, His angels and also as by their names. And also Allah said, and when we took from the prophets and their covenants and from you, Muhammad, and from Noah and Abraham and Musa and Isa ibn Maryam. So Allah said, in this case, said Allah the prophets, all the prophets, then Allah mentioned those five prophets of Ulil Azm, or the prophets of persistence. Those who were very persistent in their da'wah to Allah, which who are Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Noah, Isa, Abraham, Musa. So and Allah said that we took from the prophets and their covenant, and from you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from Noah, Abraham, Musa, and Isa ibn Maryam. Sometimes we see that the specific term will come before the general, and sometimes the specific come after the general. So that also something to notice. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, that we believe in what Allah revealed to us and revealed to Isa and Musa, and what revealed to the prophets. So Musa and Isa as individuals are mentioned before the prophets as a group. And in this verse we have here, Allah mentioned the prophets' term before, then after that mentioned the name of the individuals who are Noah, Musa, Muhammad, Musa, Noah, Isa, and Isa alayhi wasalam. Mentioning of the specific term alongside with the general term can be for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it might be because this specific term possesses a particular specialty, and that is not found in the remaining single term that form the general term. This is the case of the Noah, Abraham, Musa, and Isa alayhi salam mentioned there. So the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did make preference among them, amongst the prophets, and those five prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singled them out as given them highest level, and they are called Ulil Azm, and these and and out of the five, Muhammad and Ibrahim are the one that have been most honored, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been the one that's honored the most out of all of them. And on other occasions, it may be because the general term is so absolute. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, guidance to muttaqeen, who believed in the ghaib, the unseen, established prayer and spent out of what we have provided them, and who believed in that which has been sent down. In this case, it says, saying that those who believe in the unseen encompass all ghaib, all unseen, which one must believe in. However, it's very extensive. There isn't within it an indication that part of the ghaib and what has been revealed to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has been revealed before you. And iman, I mean, this is a term, a very general term, is iman or faith, and it has different ways that iman can be described. For example, established prayer, and even salah or prayer, it has two different meanings: meaning from the language and meaning from the fiqh or from the deen. And this kind of term is called mujmal, means anything that has more than one meaning or could have more than one more meaning. So in this case, that they believe in the unseen. And in this case, the unseen, Allah has described the unseen, that those who believe in establish the prayer and they believe in what has been revealed to you and revealed to the ones before you. And in this case, here, the ghaib or the unseen that's been mentioned is the mujmal, which has more than one meaning, and has been described as the one that's been revealed to you, Muhammad, and the one that's been revealed to those who before you, and the believers would believe in it. And which means this was revealed to the prophets and messengers before you. And all that Allah has mentioned in the Quran, the believers would believe in it. And that's part of the unseen.
قال وقد يكون المقصود انهم يؤمنون بالمخبر به وهو الغيب وبالاخبار بالغيب وهو فيما ينزل اليك وما انزل منه قبل.
And sometimes the ijmal or the general meaning would, for example, they believe in the unseen. And the unseen in this case also could mean telling them about things that, or also the ghaib or the unseen is when the Quran tells them about this ghaib that they didn't see or witness themselves before. They believe in it. Or they believe in the books that has been revealed, for example, like the Torah and the Injil or the Bible. So that means they believe in the true authentic Bible and Torah. Or another meaning of the unseen in this case is that they believe in anything that they didn't see, but yet the Quran tells them about it. Also, it says, recite what is revealed to you of the book and establish prayer. So in this case, reciting the book is following it. Reciting the book in the meaning. And also, and those who hold fast by the book and establish prayer. The tilawah, or recitation of the book, is actually following it and acting by it. As Ibn Mas'ud has commented on this verse, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those to whom we have given the book, recite it as it should be recited. He said, they declare it lawful to be lawful. Whatever it says lawful, it's lawful. It's unlawful to be unlawful. Believe in it, and it's mutashabih, and they act upon its mushkil. So they believe in the mutashabih, and the mutashabih is the one that could carry more than one meaning. They believe in it as it's and they believe in it, and they act upon and on the muhkam, or the clear command of it. And Ibn Mas'ud took the term of recite the book, basically by following the command of the book, by implementing it, and the explicit command must be implemented as they are in there. And the one that is mutashabih, which has meaning that is not very clear to us, we believe in it. So, following the book encompass prayer as well as other matters. However, Allah mentioned it specifically because of its excellence. And other example is like, as Musa said, verily, I am Allah, there is no deity but I, so worship me and establish prayer for my remembrance. So worship me and remembering Allah, establishing prayer for His remembrance, is one of the most exalted manifestation of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also have taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. And also have taqwa for Allah and seek the means of approach to Him. Wasila are means, but in this case it means the good faith and good conduct, or the good deeds. And but when you say wasila, is any means that will make us reach our goal or destination. And these good deeds are the means that they can use to reach that goal, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the iman and the good deeds are the actual deeds. And there are different ways of tawassul, which basically using means to get to that goal. And one of them is to do the good deeds. In itself is one of the best means to have us reach that goal of pleasing and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second is supplicating to Allah and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, for example, like those who were got trapped into that cave, each one of them has mentioned something that he did in the past for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah will relieve them from the trap that they were in. And the person can supplicate to Allah and ask Allah and mention things that he did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's okay to do that. So and then can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever. So that would be that's permissible means of tawassul. And also we can use Allah attributes and names as we supplicate and ask Allah for things. So we ask Allah using his 99 names and that came in the supplications of the Prophet ﷺ and others. As Allah said that Allah has his attributes or names, invoking Allah using them. So if we are asking forgiveness, we use the attributes that describe forgiving, Ghafoor. If we're asking Allah to have mercy on us, we ask Allah with the merciful name that He has, Rahman, Rahim. So we use every attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that fit our need in that case. And another one that is permissible is to have as a means is to have a pious person who is living person that people can ask to do this the supplication, a person who's living, a person who's present to do that, not a dead person. And to seek the wasila or the means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, as Allah said, have taqwa for Allah and be with the truthful people. So all these things are from among the acts of taqwa, is to be truthworthy and honest. We will stop here for Maghrib, inshallah, and then we'll continue after Maghrib, inshallah.